Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Mike, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
A busy day to talk college basketball, right? Crazy event last night. I don't think I've ever seen somebody blow a tire like Zion did, but I don't think we've ever seen a freak athlete like him before.
We have not, and I suppose that that's a product of that, although I'm not going to venture any opinions about shoe design and or technology. No use sticking my head in that blender.
Well, it's funny because we were talking earlier. I mean, you've seen 300-pound dudes. I mean, big babies up there, but not with the explosiveness that that guy has. And maybe, honestly, it's a good thing that his shoe went out and maybe that protected his knee a little bit more. I don't know.
It's possible. One doesn't know. And, you know, it turned out because of him going down the way he did, for whatever reason that he went down, he did sprain the opposite knee. It was the other knee, I believe, that he felt the pain in. And at the time I looked at it, I thought to myself, you know, you worry about what it could be. But I had a feeling that based on the way his knee torqued, it probably wasn't a worst-case scenario. So that's great, and hopefully he'll be able to be back relatively soon.
How differently do you think that game goes? Because Carolina obviously controlled pace once that happened, and Luke May went off. How differently do you think that goes if he's able to go?
Well, it goes entirely differently. That doesn't necessarily mean the result would have changed.
Right.
We can't say whether Carolina would have won with Zion out there, but, there's this mentality that when something happens like that, the rest of the guys are supposed to do the Chip Hilton routine and buck up and all that. And the reality is you build an entire game plan on this guy, and, okay, what do we do now? Well, we're not ready for that. And in trying to find an answer, let alone the confidence to execute it, they weren't able to do it, and that wouldn't be necessarily surprising given that they're mostly freshmen. You know, it's interesting. They've lost three games now. They had an in-game injury, an early in-game injury, to one of their key four freshmen in two of those losses. So I think that makes a statement about, about two things. One, how really impressive that quartet is, and two, how apparently unready anyone else is to step into that void when it's created.
Well, Luke May, who's the Hunter Renfrow of college basketball, goes out and gets a historic 30-15 last night in, you know, year 16 for him at North Carolina.
He's a terrific player, and, he hasn't been around that long. Goodness gracious, before he made the shot in Memphis 2 years ago, nobody could have found him on a roadmap. Let's be honest. He's really only had two full years as a starter. Before that, he was kind of a rumor. He was a guy that that Roy stuck out there every now and then, and you didn't even know he was there until he made that shot. Well, actually, honestly, until he scored 16, I think it was, in the Friday night game against Butler, and, you know, obviously on a huge stage, and then comes in and makes the game-winning shot that puts Carolina in the Final Four, and without it, they'd have won a fewer national championship.
It is a great interesting thing to Tennessee fans to see how far Duke will drop after that loss.
Well, you know, first of all, let me say that I loathe the polls generally, and I try to pay as little attention to them as possible, even though my job is in college basketball. People find that surprising, but I think they're kind of a foolish exercise, and that my position was, you know, was put in neon lights, which I think is a good national reference. It was put in neon lights when you drop that team from 1-5. Come on. They lose one game on the road to a top 10, top 5 team, and now you hate them? That's ridiculous.
Well, that being said, then where do you see this Duke loss? What do you see this Duke loss doing to them?
Well, I don't think they'll fall very far because of the fact that, again, like I said, Zion being absent, Now, if they were to come out tomorrow, and they won't do this because the injury isn't that profound. But if you know, in a suppositional world where Zion were not going to play any more college basketball, they would drop several positions because people know now without him, they aren't, you know, they're still really talented, but they'd have to hustle to find a new way to play. And so I think most people at that point would be very suspicious of them and would probably drop them, you know, probably into the 7-8 range. But he is going to be back. I'm 99.9% certain he'll play again. I couldn't tell you when. They know he'll be back. So I don't think he'll fall far unless they follow this up with another L on the weekend. And I'll be frank, I haven't looked at their schedule. I'm not even sure who's up next.
That's a great point. I'll look that up while we talk. In terms of Tennessee, so Tennessee gets hit in the face by Kentucky. We were interested to see how they would respond against Vanderbilt. Offensively, they were about the same as they were against Kentucky, percentage-wise. What do you see from this Tennessee team? Have they run out of gas? What do you think moving forward? Because they've got a big one, obviously, Saturday at LSU.
Yeah, you know, I think that some of it is just sort of teams figure out what you want to do, and then you have to find new things to do or get better at the things that you do that you preferred the first time around. It's really a choice. You can't stay the same. And I think that, you know, when you're winning every game, and usually by double-digit margins, there's a great temptation to not change much, because if you change and then you lose, you feel like you screwed it up. So you keep doing those things, and then when you start seeing new counters to that, new tactics to take away this or that, I didn't get to watch the Kentucky game as intently as I would have liked, because I was working at Big Ten Network at that point, so I was watching, but I wasn't watching. You know, my focus wasn't really the same as it was, for instance, when I was in Knoxville for the Mizzou game. And I was able to see what Mizzou did, which what Mizzou did was use Grant Williams' selflessness against him. They allowed him to touch the ball early in possessions, knowing he wasn't going to push anything. And then late in possessions, they clamped down and made it hard for the ball to get back to him. And, you know, then the clock's starting to lapse, and you have to do something else. You can't wait around all day for him to get open. So that's what they did. In Kentucky's case, from what I saw, it was more just a question of putting a great defender in his space and a very athletic and really physically strong defender and trying to just take away anything he wanted to do. So he's got to start to be more aggressive with what he does offensively. He can't be content to be I'll take what they give me. I'll take what comes to me. He's got to start taking circumstances on and saying, look, I'm the best player in this league, and that requires me being special, sometimes maybe even outside the nature of the offense. And we saw P.J. Washington do that. You know, Kentucky was doing fine, mixing it up, mixing it around. This guy scores, that guy scores. But Kentucky got great when P.J. started to really score and started to be a first option. Grant has always been this team's preferred option, but now he's got to be their first option.
You mentioned Kentucky. Reed Travis getting a little bit of an injury, might miss the game against Tennessee. That's certainly a big loss for Kentucky, any game that he doesn't play.
It is. I'll be shocked, honestly. That game doesn't come up till the very end of the regular season. It's not next weekend, right?
March 2nd. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it is. So he does. It is a shorter. I thought it was last game of the regular season. So it does sort of trim his timeline. That's about 9 days out from when he got hurt.
Yeah.
They might have to go without him in that game, which would make it very difficult for them, because I think they're really well positioned to move on without him in the near term, because they've got. They've got a guy like Nick Richards to come in and play as a center. They've got E.J. Montgomery to play as a stretch four. And both those guys are terrific shot blockers, honestly better than Reed is. So that doesn't hurt them, but you get back into that Tennessee matchup, and now you can't use Reed to guard Grant, and you either have to put P.J. on him. Well, P.J.'s an excellent defender. He's actually a better pure defender than Reed is, but that weakens your offense a little bit, because you've now got your primary guy having to play, 100% on offense and 100% on defense, and and that makes the game more difficult.
Mike DeCourcy with us from the Sporting News at TSN. Mike, yeah, looking at Duke's schedule, Mike, it's actually interesting. They play at Syracuse, who beat them in Camden Indoor on Saturday.
And that's, you know, that's a losable game for them, even with Zion.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they're playing in the dome for the first time, although that'll benefit those guys playing in that kind of atmosphere overall. It'll be good for them because even though I don't buy into the idea that that teams automatically shoot worse in domes, and I've proved that on multiple occasions with the stats, it still is different, just as going into Cameron is different for a player the first time, or going into Memorial Gym, you know, that blows up a lot of guys coming in. So playing at the Carrier Dome will help a little bit for them if they make it to Minneapolis. But having to play without Zion with a team that struggles to shoot the basketball in general is really a challenge for them.
Mike, appreciate the time. Always love checking in with you, my friend. Thank you.
All right, I enjoyed it very much. You take care.
All right, at TSN, Mike. Always an interesting perspective. I love his take on Grant Williams, that he just needs to be more selfish, that people are using his unselfishness against him, that he gets rid of the ball early in the clock and then wants it back and they can't get it to him because by then they're fronting and got a guy on the backside. So I think that's a really interesting piece.